My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I beg your pardon for my sins and the grace to spend this time of prayer fruitfully. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Jesus, as he is being nailed to the cross, precisely exclaims, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." As we have commented on this, said that Christ, our Lord, all throughout his life, was constantly in a dialogue with his Father, God. And this dialogue, which he would frequently invite his disciples to, so that they can learn and engage in, is the essence of prayer. In fact, his disciples vividly saw this aspect of our Lord's life. They saw that when Jesus prayed, it was something very different, something very unique. So intimate, so intense was our Lord's prayer that they would tell our Lord, "Lord, teach us how to pray." This is very striking because none of his disciples would ask our Lord, for example, you can imagine telling our Lord, "Lord, teach us how to perform miracles." Miracles are incredible. They are actions that go beyond our comprehension and nature itself. And yet, none of them had asked our Lord, or maybe they had. Or, "Lord, tell us parables and how to be able to come up with these wonderful analogies." Or even to say, "Lord, how can we lose our fear of the Pharisees? How can we make them shut up, so to speak, the debate with the Pharisees, so that when they start accusing us or attacking us, we will be able to answer back." And even when they could not properly expel a mute devil, you remember the episode in St. Mark's Gospel and the parallel Gospels, a man goes to our Lord and says, "Lord, please help me. A devil is oppressing my son. I went to your disciples, but they could not cast the devil out." And so Jesus casts out the devil. And when they were alone, when they're already alone, the disciples ask our Lord, "Why could we not cast it out?" And Jesus did not give them a method. He said, "Did you follow the instruction manual on exorcism?" No. He simply said, "This type can only be so overcome with prayer." And so in the life of our Lord, in a passive and active way, he prayed and made his disciples pray, even though they could not truly embrace the meaning and power of prayer. Because Jesus was going to reveal to them, as he now reveals to us, or to remind us, that prayer is not only a means, but by itself is the answer to man's deepest longings. Sometimes we are at a quandary about certain things in life, decisions, vocation, and that, and we ask someone, "What should I do?" And the answer that they usually throw at us is, "Pray about it. Please, you're told to pray about it." I remember early on when I was with some students in a university, and I told one student, "Well, maybe you should bring this book to prayer. It will help you a lot." So he did. And indeed, he brought the book to prayer. When he came back on another occasion, I asked him, "How did you find the book?" "It's okay." "Did you get anything from it?" "Not much." "So, was there anything that struck you in the book?" "Not really." Then I sort of inquired further. What do you do in prayer with the book? He says, well, I bring it with me and I put it beside me. I bring the book to prayer. So that's what he did. He would bring the book to prayer, but he would never open it to page one and start reading and absorbing and reflecting. But he took my advice literally, bring this book to prayer, as if he felt maybe that the book would radiate some special aura that would start in changing him, converting him. But prayer, yes, seems to be a means. But in itself, when we are told to pray, the disposition of wanting to talk to God about something is the answer. The moment we ask our Lord, Lord, why? The act of asking God for the why, or the where, or how, is the answer. You are now talking to God. But since we are looking at it from a very mechanistic way, input, output, so if I talk to God, then I deserve an answer. Lord, will I find a very wonderful, caring husband? Well, if we don't go out of the four walls of our house, if we don't ask our relatives, if we don't... It's like wanting to win the lotto but not buying a ticket. Same thing for prayer. Prayer is not just because we expect God to give us an answer. Prayer is the answer. That sometimes we don't see that. And while this God of ours, Jesus, prayed, sadly, men slept. This is what happened in Gethsemane. We know that moment which is so intense. Of course, in the Passion of the Christ, if you have watched that, it's even combined with a bit of something horrible because the devil is there, and the presence of the snake, symbolic of the devil, is also there, somehow menacing our Lord in prayer. Reading from Matthew, we are told that Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he told his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. Some centuries earlier, someone also went to this place because his life was in danger. And he prayed in that same place, not exactly the same place where our Lord prayed, but in that place is called the Mount of Olives. And the one who prayed there was King David, because he was being persecuted by his son Absalom. He didn't want to confront his son, so he said, let's leave Jerusalem. I don't want to fight with my son. And fleeing, he crossed over the Kidron, went up into the Mount of Olives, and there he prayed. David, Christ. He was already telling us a story of what Christ would do prior to his passion. And now we have Christ praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Very something we can relate to. And he said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for an hour? Keep watching and praying so that you do not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It seems in the passage, if you read on, they slept twice. And our Lord would always arouse them from sleep. And finally, he would tell them, let us arise from here. My time has arrived. But if we go back a little, notice what Jesus says. My Father, if it is not possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. You might ask, what is God's will for me? The answer is, pray. When we pray, we are already doing God's will. It's amazing, no? Because we think that, well, I'll do God's will because I'll follow the commandments. I'll do God's will because I'll obey my superiors, my parents. I'll do God's will because I'll try to be honest, be pure, be this, be that. But imagine when you and I pray, we are already doing God's will. Why? Because we place ourselves in His presence. Lord, what do you want me to do? It's more refined. It's not in the books to obey some rule. It's to ask our Lord, what is your will for me? Very often, we don't see prayer from this angle. We see prayer as a moment where we have to sit down and pray and time ourselves and read a book. And here, in general, we're talking about the dispositions of the heart that wants to discover God's will through prayer, when prayer itself is God's will for us. As if saying, you want to know my will? Begin praying, and you will find that you have already begun doing my will. So we should not be afraid to pray. We should not be afraid, nor should we get tired of praying. And that's why it's so beautiful in gatherings when somebody says, let us place ourselves in the presence of God.
Okay.
Is that prayer? Of course. Of course it is already prayer. And therefore, Jesus not only reveals what prayer is, but how He is transformed into prayer itself, and demonstrates to His disciples and to us that prayer is not a means for merely communicating, but of transforming. It's not just communicating to our Lord, but it's a transforming moment so that we may be identified with the will of God as Jesus was. So this is far from looking at prayer from just being a petition, but more than anything, it is a relation with someone who is not there only to give what I ask for, but to save us by transforming us through our self-surrender in and through prayer. We surrender ourselves to our Lord in prayer. We give ourselves to our Lord in prayer. That struck me if you've ever gone to the shrine of Padre Pio there in C5, along C5. There's a very beautiful shrine there. It says there, Padre Pio, the man of prayer. And below it says, the man who became prayer. Wow. We all pray. But our ideal is, can I become prayer? Can I become prayer? Yes. See, there's still so much we can discover in the spiritual life. But this entails allowing grace to really act in our life. We are not in any way excluded from what the saints have attained in prayer. We can also achieve it. It all begins with the desires of the heart, our longings, our wantings, our wish. Because Christ did not teach us a method or instruction, but as we saw in the Our Father, He was revealing a reality, a form of a portal, a kind of portal through which man was invited to enter into and be transformed. Says, when you pray, say, Our Father. Wow. Says, when you pray, okay, do this, do that. Didn't say that. He says, say, Our Father. I mean, the first word is very bombastic. No? Boom. Say, Our Father. Oh, the apostles, wait. We're not really accustomed to saying, God, our Father. I remember when Scott Hahn was in the process of his conversion. I'm sure when you pray, you're not the type who prays hiding. Well, Scott Hahn, because he wasn't Catholic, he was converted from evangelical to Catholic. I mean, he started going to the Mass, but he would stay in the last pew. and he would just observe. But since he was so immersed in scripture, he discovered that everything that was going on in the Mass had to do with scripture. So he said, wow. And then he probably could see the people there just going through their routine of the Mass. Says, don't they understand? He wasn't yet a Catholic. He said, don't they understand this part and this one and this one? So he wanted to even go in front of the people and say, hey guys, wake up. Don't you realize that this is happening now and this is what scripture says and this one? Of course. But the most difficult part for him was when he started saying the rosary. And he was so like cringing at every word of the Hail Mary, Holy Mary, because he felt that every time he would say that, he was going deeper into hell. How could I adore Our Lady? So he would hide in his study and pray the rosary there so that his wife wouldn't see him praying the rosary, because his wife wasn't Catholic then. For a Jew to say, Our Father, was like taboo. I said, no way. No way. You can't say prayer. You can't do prayer that way. Because here, Christ wasn't giving a method. He was asking us to enter into the relationship through that prayer by saying, say it. That is the truth of who you are and who God is, Our Father. A living prayer. And so, Christ reveals that we are not called to prayer, but to live prayer, such that our life and everything in it become a constant dialogue with God. That's prayer. How wonderful, this author says, everything that in one way or another places us in contact with the humanity of Christ, because we learn prayer, and through the humanity of Christ, our prayer acquires the integrity that it should have. Everything that brings us in contact with Christ brings us into the presence of God. That includes humbly invoking the name of Jesus, contemplating the events of his life from the incarnation to his ascension into glory, meditating on his actions and his words, gazing at an icon or a crucifix, holding a friendly conversation with Jesus whom we picture at our side like the best and most faithful of friends, Eucharistic adoration, saying the rosary, etc. From the time of the apostles until today, the Christian people, guided by the Holy Spirit and the inventiveness of love, have learned to make Jesus and his life their own in hundreds of thousands of different ways. And in doing so, welcome the mystery of God into themselves. This conviction is the beginning of many of the different forms of prayer and devotion that nourish the church's life. There is no one way to pray. There's no one formal way of doing prayer. And ultimately, we discover that through the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, there we find prayer itself. And this means that we must sincerely strive to know Christ. You say, how will my prayer improve? How will my prayer grow and bear fruit? Get to know our Lord. Again, because it's not a method of doing prayer. It's concentrating. How will I not be distracted by my cell phone, by this concern, this worry, this fear? Get to know Jesus. Get to know our Lord. Know his life. Get into his life. Because this is the most sure path that will help us to be also transformed into prayer itself. Our encounter with Christ, thus prayer, is not a mere chore or norm, but a relationship whose summit will be our identification with Jesus. To become, as St. Osimria would say many times, and sometimes it would strike his listeners, our goal is to become other Christ and Christ himself. And prayer is what allows this to happen. This will entail naturally immersing our entire being into prayer, though not perfectly. Though not perfectly. But at least to strive to gradually create a space for Christ, who will slowly, gently, and delicately transform us into himself. You know, recently there was this lady interviewed because she was asked about how we should overcome our anxiety. And so she has what she calls the anxiety relief technique. We all have anxieties. So it's a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And supposedly you should do these things. So the first thing you should do is focus or hold on to the things you see. So immediately when you're anxious, what do you see in front of you? Maybe there that's meaningful for you. A picture of your family, of your boyfriend, of this or that, what you see. 4, then things you touch. What can I touch? What can I hold? Things you hear. Hone into the birds chirping out there, the cars passing by. Things that you smell. Maybe your perfume, or maybe the downy of your clothes, the laundry. So then afterwards, things you taste. But what is she actually saying here? It's anxiety is caused because of a fear that we cannot word or conceptualize. What are you afraid of? I don't know, I'm just afraid. So anxiety is lessened, not necessarily cured, is lessened when we ground ourselves in reality. And we realize that, well, it's not so bad after all. Well, imagine what prayer does is to ground us in Christ in all our senses. In all our senses, we ground ourselves in Christ. We build ourselves on Christ. We found ourselves in Christ. This has to also happen in prayer. If we do the same in prayer and through prayer, then we ground our entire being in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to what Saint Peter of Alcantara would say about prayer and why prayer is indispensable. He says, "In prayer, the soul is purified from sin. Charity is nurtured. Faith takes root. Hope is strengthened. The spirit gladdened. In prayer, the soul melts into tenderness. The heart is purified. The truth reveals itself. Temptation is overcome. Sadness is put to flight. In prayer, the senses are renewed. Lukewarmness vanishes. Failing virtue is reinvigorated. The rust of vice is scorched away. And in this exchange, there come forth living sparks, blazing desires of heaven, in which the flame of divine love burns." Of course, the temptation is to say, well, I don't seem to get all of these in my prayer. But these eventually will be the effects of prayer in the soul. Because given that we are not angels, it's natural that there will be distractions, difficulties. Sometimes we would be more tired. As one author nicely says it, and this is the title of the book, Say to God. And sometimes it's surprising because he says, everything is good wood for prayer. Meaning, when you have a fire burning and you want to keep it burning, you can put anything into it. It'll start burning. Any type of wood will catch fire. If you put a piece of metal or iron, it will not definitely catch fire. But any piece of good wood that's put into fire will catch fire and burn. So he's saying here actually this, anything can be combustible material for prayer. Say to God. Some people are surprised and say, well, you know, I mean, I got angry the other day, I was this, I had temptations there, and I was very discouraged, I became sad. And then the person is asked, you say to God? As if sometimes we have that wrong notion that everything I will have to live up to God will always be nice and sweet and cool and wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you this, thank you that. You're so good. Oh, thank you for your love, your mercy. But we never, it never occurs to us, saying, Lord, I want to kill this person. And you say, oh, it's scandalous. You want to kill a person. You want to, but you're saying it to God. And then God starts to let things settle. Okay, I know you're angry. I know you're having temptations. I know you're on the verge of giving up. I know this, I know that. Settle down. Okay. Isn't that what our parents did? We're sobbing our heads off already. And what happened? Tell me, come on. And we cry all the more. Oh, we wail there. And we even blow on our noses on the shoulder of our mothers. No, we don't care. And stain it with our saliva and our tears, crying there. Oh, come on, tell me, what's wrong? Oh, because so-and-so got my toys. Oh, what else? But we're saying it to our mother, we're saying it to our father. You say this is the most primitive form of prayer, but it's the most sincere prayer. We have gone to a point sometimes that there are misconceptions of prayer that have prevented us to think, I could really pray. That I could find my prayer before God. A God who delights in your prayer because there is no other prayer like your prayer before God. Oh, I cannot pray like Mother Teresa or Saint Augustine or probably Pope John Paul II. Oh, God says, yeah, I know their prayer, but I want to hear your prayer. And I'm eager to hear from you. Their prayer was their prayer. But tell me about your prayer. Perhaps not as a strict method, but it would help. If really one wants to engage prayer and to somehow put some discipline into it, but not something that we tie ourselves to. But at least that we should have a place for prayer. Naturally, we can pray anywhere. Pray in the car. In fact, this author says prayer should reach a point when, while you're even taking a shower or going through the mall, I mean, you talk to Lord, what a nice shirt. Lord, thank you for the warm water. Or Lord, in the opposite, thank you for the cold water because there's no heater, you know? But you connect somehow naturally, seamlessly with God. But despite that, we have to have time for prayer and a place for prayer so that time and place are essential for prayer. That is, we have to harness it. If our Lord went to a garden to pray, to focus himself there, he is also telling us, yes, you can pray anywhere, everywhere, but it's important to have a place where you can really pray. And there, specify a time that you will dedicate to prayer. And if you can, go to prayer with some form of preparation, because definitely, yes, we can just go to prayer and spontaneously just thank our Lord. But since the spiritual life is a wonderful love story, and somebody was telling me to watch, Father, you should watch this new telenovela. I haven't even watched Claw yet. I mean, so I'm just cheating, you know, just fast-forwarding scenes there, here, left, right. Now they want me to watch Queen of Tears. So, well, I said, well, and I'm not ready for that yet. So perhaps time and whatever, but the point being is, why do we enjoy these stories? Because there's a theme. There's an unfolding plot to the whole thing. And prayer ought to also be of the same category, that we have to somehow allow prayer to unfold because there's a story unfolding there of my love for God and His love for me. You know, just say, oh, okay, whatever comes to mind, sit here. And that's where a book comes handy. Perhaps the resolutions we've been ticking into or keeping a tab off for the past 2 or 3 weeks already. So looking at some sort of thread in them. And of course, it would help our position in prayer. Yeah, you can wonderfully pray reclining in bed. But sometimes we just end up waking up the next day for realizing we have not really finished our prayer. Because the body also has to pray and help us to pray as well. And then we realize more than anything else, we are there to center ourselves in Christ and allow His grace to to transform us. And sometimes it will not be easy because he may demand more, or on occasions it may require more patience and fortitude because it may seem that he doesn't hear or answer us. And there are temptations to abandon prayer due to activism, our recurring faults and miseries or temptations, or because one lacks proper guidance or orientation. Let us not falter. Let us not give up on prayer. Indeed, in the words of St. Therese of Lisieux, he says, it will be a fruitful waste. There is an aspect of gratuitousness which is absolutely essential in any prayer life. Paradoxically, the more our prayer is gratuitous, done freely, not to get something out of it, the more it will bear fruit. Because when you talk with your best friend, you're not there because you want to get something from that friend. You just want to enjoy one's company. What we need to do is to entrust ourselves to God to the extent of doing whatever he asks of us without feeling any need for further reasons. Do whatever he tells you, Mary says to the servants at the wedding feast at Cana. When we go to prayer with these dispositions, the water that we are is converted into wine. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I beg your help in performing them, my Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.